Tonight on the show, we dive into the year of civil unrest from CHOP to CHAZ. COVID-19 from year to date, plus UFO, UAP, UAP full disclosure. We check in with Karis Astrology and the charts. Plus, you have a chance, courtesy of Hops and Drops, to win a gift card for just calling in and being the 10th caller. Our guest needs no introduction. Michael Parker is a producer of over 300 episodes of content related to the mystery of human history, science, the occult, and so-called conspiracy theories. He's hosted a show called Antidote, Dark Matter, and much more. You can find his handle on the gram or Twitter at Michael Parker. It is my pleasure to welcome back as a contributor to Northwest Phenomenon, Michael Parker. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you, man. I mean, let's be honest, man. A year to date, since we probably did the first show sometime around this time in March-ish, 420, somewhere in there. I think we're still in the podcast world back then. I mean,
I think you're right, because I've been on the show a few times. It's funny that you bring that up, because I can't remember when the first show that we did together was, but that's probably right. And certainly, here we are, 420, April, and March last year was when the hammer came down and we all went into the lockdowns, and yeah, it's been a heck of a year.
For sure. I mean, unbelievable. Talking about a year in civil unrest. We were talking about UAPs, I think, at that point. It was all about full disclosure on our first episode together. Here we are, a year to date about COVID. Did you think we'd be here?
Mario, I didn't know. It's funny, because before the end of that, okay, so we just came out of 2020, but around end of 2019, I started reading things about this virus that was coming out of China, supposedly. And, I lean conspiracy a little bit. So, you know, I'm reading about this thing and I'm like, man, this doesn't sound good. I remember I was back home seeing my family in Texas at Christmas, and I'm reading about this thing, and it really hadn't hit the news over here yet. So when I come back to LA, I'm telling some people that I work with on another show, hey, you know, we should start looking into this thing. It's COVID, it's a virus. And, and then jump ahead to March, I remember I'm in my living room right now, and my wife and I watching television, and we're expecting Garcetti, the mayor of LA, to come on anytime and tell us, you know, that we're going to go into this lockdown. And of course, that's what happened. And did I think it would go this long? I don't think so. I certainly hope not. I think I thought in my heart that we would be out of it in the fall.
You know, it's crazy, because when, you know, that started to come into, it was eerie. People were, you know, going into their homes. I mean, you're seeing on television masses amount of people just dying, them digging these huge industrial size casket burial sites to, paying tribute to the healthcare workers with pots and pans. And I mean, it was like you couldn't even, like, you looked at everyone like they were the boogeyman. You just had no clue, no idea what was going on. And then you start getting into the civil unrest of, you know, the George Floyd situation. You know, as we fast forward to May with his passing, and it's unreal. Unreal how I think that people were starting to lose their jobs. I think it's almost like the needle that broke, you know, that broke the camel's back. It was like that one last thing that just said, we're done. Like, no more. We're not taking any more of this.
I wouldn't disagree. I remember when the murder happened. Of course, you know, minutes ago, we just found out Chauvin's guilty on all three charges, which didn't surprise me. I'm hearing a lot of people say they're surprised. I wasn't surprised, but I was still hanging on to optimism until that happened. And here in Los Angeles, the civil unrest was pretty bad. And I'll tell you something, Mario, that I've never told on any show that I've ever been on. Mm-hmm. A personal thing that happened to me. I moved to Los Angeles in the early 90s, and when the riots happened here in 92, the Rodney King riots,
right?
I worked in a record store in Hollywood, and I took the bus to my home in Venice, and I lived kind of in the hood in Venice. And I lived with a band that I was in, and we had black and white people in that house. Long story short, you know, I look like your typical grunge rocker at that point in time, you know, combat boots and a flannel shirt and short pants and stuff. And I'm walking home that afternoon, you know. Well, anyway, I got jumped and beaten to all, they didn't kill me, but I got jumped from behind by two youth, black youth. The only reason I know this is because my neighbor, well, actually one of the people in the house saw it happen. So I have no recollection of it. I was attacked from behind, and I have no, so that was a really bad time for me. And it took me about 2 weeks to be able to go back to work. They beat me unconscious, left me essentially for dead. My roommates came out and scooped me up off the sidewalk, took me in. And then for the next 3 days in Los Angeles, it was just pure hell. It looked like a third world country. The entire city was on fire. It was terrible. Then jump forward to last May and June when this happened. I was like, I was optimistic up until that point. And when that happened, I was like, man, I mean, they were just beginning to let us, you know, go back out into the world and do our thing. And then this happened. And so, yeah, it was a very depressing thing. And here it was so similar to what happened in 92. You know, my wife, my daughters and I, we watched it on television. And then for a matter of days, you know, they burnt the city. They stole, they looted. And listen, I understand people were, there's this double whammy of frustration, anger. They were cooped up in their homes. Many have lost their jobs. I mean, it was just a perfect storm of atrocities that occurred. And you know, we're still coming back from all that. And hopefully today with the three guilty verdicts, hopefully that will help a little bit. I know it's not going to help a huge amount, but hopefully it'll help a little bit and we can move forward. And hopefully that we will near a situation where I think here in California, hopefully by June, we're supposed to be coming out of lockdown. And I think, you know, I know I look forward to it. I think most people do. And a lot of people who lost their jobs or their businesses, they're certainly looking forward to it.
It's funny that you say that, because I, you know, watching the Minnesota, I mean, of the, what was it? What did they burn down? Was it a Wendy's? Was it a Wendy's that they caught fire in Minneapolis, Minnesota? I don't recall.
It was a Wendy's initially. You're talking about when things first kicked off, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I think it was a Wendy's
That burnt down. Maybe Jeff, if you can search that and put that in the private chat here, let us know. If it was that Wendy, I mean, it was nuts. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like 1992 all over again. There was a riot in the streets. Tell me, where were you? And I mean, yes, I'm quoting Sublime, but I mean, it was Wendy's. It's nuts, nuts. I was like, what in the hell is going on? It was like, I'm not a gun owner. Not yet. So don't mess with me. I have a dog that weighs 110 pounds that will eat you alive.
That's a start.
So don't come for me. But to get back to what's going on, I mean, I was like, the civil unrest was nuts. I was like, as you said, the atrocities that happened back in 92, you're a white person, a Caucasian, and you're like Reginald Denny. You got beat down, you know? I mean, that's,
I was in the wrong, I was at the wrong place at the right time. Yeah. And I was right. The funny thing about it is, in Venice at that time in the early 90s, I mean, you'd be living to a nice there. Okay. There's a condo, a crack house, and then a nice apartment, right. Then an old house. I mean, it was a real mixed bag. And, those plots now are going for a lot of money, but it's funny because, you know, I was in this indie band and grunge was in full bloom, and we were a grunge band, and there were five of us living in this house, of which two were black, and we were just the bros on the street like anybody else. So they didn't, the guys who attacked me, they didn't know me. I was just in the wrong place at exactly the right time for them to vent their anger against someone. And luckily for me, you know, I went unconscious immediately, so I have no memory of any of it. And luckily for me also, I lived through it. But yeah, I mean, the next 3 days, it was bad, man. I mean, it was really bad. And So I'm not pro riot.
I mean, there's other ways that you want to protest. There's other ways to protest. I don't disagree. If you would like to protest, by all means, please right. do. For me, I'm going to protest in other ways. In regards to spending my dollars and cents at businesses that are what I want to put my dollars and cents towards.
Mario, I think that's actually the way to do it. And the withholding of funds, that's where you get change. Because, listen, there is a time to take to the streets, and I support that. And certainly during the Gulf War, I was in the streets here in Los Angeles protesting that. And Gulf War II. To just destroy neighborhoods, that actually just hurts the people who live in that neighborhood. And I've heard people say, well, they can build back. Well, in the case of a large corporation, say a Starbucks or something, yes, they can. But if it's a mom and pop or just a small business owner who's basically hanging on by a thread, you've basically maybe put them out of business. And now that same business is going to be replaced with yet another corporation. So it's really kind of a backwards way of making anything happen. But at the same time, I understand there's frustration and people feel like they have to do something. But I don't think that it's helpful in any way.
As we continue talking about things that have happened, the civil unrest in one full year from, year to date, COVID-19, the vaccine, how fast... these scientists were able to put together a vaccine. I have yet to get vaccinated. I've tried.
Really?
Yeah.
And what's the deal? Because I get a text on my phone every day saying, "Hey, come get vaccinated."
Yeah. I've tried. Yeah. I tried to schedule the appointment, and then it says, "Oh, there's no second appointment available." I've also read that if you've had the one-niner, if you've had COVID-19, it says in the questionnaire before it was open for everyone, it said, if you've had COVID-19, the last date tested, give it 90 days. So if I had, let's say I tested COVID positive today, your last positive test, go 90 days out after that. So there are conflicting reports out there in regards to which county was giving such information. And it's confusing. There are other counties around that are like wide open. I can go to Eastern Washington and get a shot, probably just like in the drive-through line. But as in for like closer to the metros, it's hit and miss. So,
yeah, I don't understand the rollout exactly what the issue is, because I hear a lot of different things from different people. But here in Los Angeles, it's been a couple of weeks now, maybe 2 weeks, I think, that if you're 16 or above, you're supposed to be able to get it. And I get texts telling me that, to come in, because the insurance that we have, I think that I would get mine through. Actually, I'm not even supposed to pay for it. Anyway, I'm getting my texts ultimately from UCLA.
Yeah.
But I've heard of people getting the vaccination that I'm kind of surprised they got it when they got it, because they were very young. And then I hear people that want it really bad, not being able to get it. So I don't understand the rollout process. How or why this has been so difficult.
It's crazy, right? I will say this, from, going through the whole, remember Donald Trump, he had COVID, and then,
right.
It was like,
but it's funny because I don't think that he, if I remember correctly, when that happened, he got a drug treatment called Regeneron or something. So
that's right.
He didn't get a vaccine, I don't think, of any kind, but he's the president of the United States. So whatever their most cutting edge technology was, that's what they gave him.
Should we just call it like a cocktail? It was almost like a cocktail that he took.
Right. I thought it was Regeneron and then a couple of other things. Because don't you remember, for a couple of days afterwards, he was all amped up and people were like, "Oh my God, I want some of whatever they gave him."
Right.
But it's funny because so when this first started happening, he mentions hydroxychloroquine. I did some shows on hydroxychloroquine, and I do believe that it is a successful prophylactic. And then, people were talking about ivermectin. There were many different therapeutics. I'm sorry, my family keeps coming and going through the door.
Oh, you can't, we can't hear or see them.
Good. Okay. So anyway, over the course of the first few months, you know, there was hydroxychloroquine, there was ivermectin, there were several different therapeutics, and we were all told not to use any of those because that's just not going to help, so don't do any of that. And then when Trump gets it and goes into the hospital, they treat him with this cocktail, as you mentioned, of which the only one I can remember being this thing called Regeneron, which seemed like it really gave him a lot of energy. And yet, after that, I don't think I've heard of anybody getting that drug. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like, if that was so effective, I don't know if it's super expensive or what the issue was, but you know, then there was just this downtime between that and December, January, February, when we finally rolled out some vaccines. So the whole treatment of COVID, I think that there should be many more questions about our approach to the treatment of COVID than there have been. Because it has been, the subject has been verboten. And I don't hear, you know, Anthony Fauci or many of the people in the media answering the questions that need to be asked, which is, you know, why were these various therapeutics so vehemently denied when I think that everything should have been on the table? Everything. Because if you're going to make us close down our businesses, if you're going to lock us inside, if we're going to wear one, two, three different masks 8 hours a day, if you're going to ask us to do all these things, then I think on your side, you need to have a very open-minded approach to all possible ways of treating it, not just demand that we shut down society while you guys figure it out.
It's interesting you say that, because there was a recent article in the New York Times in regards to the people over on these in the Middle East or in that area, that Israel 80% vaccinated, no upticks in cases, and they're wide open. No upticks, and they're 80% vaccinated with no masks. So go figure.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that they're okay? Because I've heard different things on Israel, because I thought that they did have an uptick, but maybe I'm wrong. So you're saying 80% of their population is vaccinated, no upticks, and they're mask-free. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I read, yeah.
Okay. That's,
but, you know, I mean, I don't know. You got people going to Texas, and they're, you know, going to the ball game, and I'm still waiting for some results out of Texas to see if we're going to get an uptick, you know?
Well, here's the – okay, so because I'm from Texas, for those who may have never heard me on Mario's show, I have friends, you know, I have friends in different – areas of society and
low places.
Yeah. I got friends in low places. But when Governor Abbott said, listen, we're going to remove the mask restrictions for businesses, I had friends who lost their minds. And I've got to be honest, this split down party lines. Those who leaned left were like, the sky is going to fall. We're all going to die because this governor has said we could take off our masks. Well, that's not happened. There hasn't been an uptick in cases. But the interesting thing that has happened is they've been told they can take their masks off, but they haven't. So, which I think ultimately was the desired result. Anyway, call me conspiracy theorist or whatever. I think they wanted people to fully submit. And so now I see a lot of my friends and family that are still in Texas, still wearing the masks, even though it's not a state decree. Now, many will say, oh, well, you need to do that to be safe. Okay, whatever. I'm just saying that I've noticed it, and it's interesting. So, I think that was the desired result. Is even if we tell you can take them off,
right?
You know, none are so imprisoned as those who think they are free. And I don't want to overstate that or be overly dramatic, but that's the first thing that came to my mind.
As you say that, because I remember reading on the show in the headline news on Northwest Phenomenon at the beginning of the show a few weeks back about, you know, Texas being wide open, and that the governor stated the masks were not required and that individual establishments could make the determination if they would like to have their establishments wear masks.
So, I think that's correct. Yes.
Yeah. So
he was removing, you know, saying we're not mandating that you do this. We're going to leave that up to you, which I think that's actually the way to do it. I mean, leave it up to the proprietorship to make those decisions.
Look, because at the end of the day, I mean, if you go out to dinner, you wear your mask, you go in, you sit down, you take your mask off, right? Then you eat, whatever, you drink, you have your cocktails, whatever the case may be. And at the end, and then when you leave, put your mask on, and then you get out. So, you know, I'm
Mario,
like,
I don't know how anybody can't see through the lunacy of that. And, you know, because that's just really unscientific. Yeah. I mean, you know, and listen, I enjoy going to restaurants and being able to take that mask off and just eat and live. But, you know, I'm probably beating a dead horse. And I have worn the mask. You know, I'm not one of those guys out in the street. Look at me. I don't have a mask on. I've had the mask on whenever I needed to go in public and do things just because, you know, I'm trying to be considerate of the people around me. I'm healthy, but you may not think I am. And right now we're all supposed to be wearing the mask. So I do wear the mask, but just so I can get things done and not cause a scene.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have so much to cover tonight on the show. Yeah, we also wanted to talk about full disclosure, social media and free speech. We have a few minutes. Yep. Maybe we'll do we'll take a full disclosure on the back end at the bottom when we come back.
I do have some things I want to say about that though. So let's not forget.
Yeah. So when we come back after the break at the bottom of the hour, we'll get into full disclosure and UFO and UAPs. But let's finish up with social media, free speech. It's interesting because the show that you did with us, the Prediction Show, particularly got removed from YouTube.
Yeah, you said something about that. Yeah, that's right.
You know, so
we must have done something right there, Mario.
Well, you know, I think it's when I said that I thought they should be governed. And that's when
Mark Jacobson disagreed with us.
And he was surprised. Yeah, that's right. Right. Mark Jacobson did not said, whoa, those are private entities. But Sorokin.
And I understand his argument, but right. I understand yours as well. And go ahead. I have something to say to that, but I'm
rambling. So are cable companies. They're private entities, and they are still governed by the FCC as well. So in that regards, I just think that it's time to get a hold of a handle. You can't tell me that the cash cow that was once the former president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, was not making social media money hand over fist. I don't care what anyone says. You don't agree with him, disagree with him, but I will tell you this. That guy was making money, just chiching every tweet. No one said a dang word about anything in regards to the social platforms when they were getting record hits, numbers through the roof of new subscribers. And then as close as the end of his presidency, gone like that, banned. You're off the Survivor Island. Why? I mean, only because he was no longer valid. At least that's my take on it, that he was no longer, you know, he's not valid anymore. You're like, okay, well, he's done in like 3 weeks, 2 weeks, and we're going to put a ban on him and shut him up. But you didn't say anything for five plus years while he's doing these different tweets about different conspiracies. And boy, did he give conspiracy a bad name for a while. Woo.
Well, I think that I have my take on things like Twitter, where I differed from Mark, because I understand Mark's position was, I think that, you know, oh, wait a minute. So now we're going to start breaking up companies and things like that. But my issue is that, okay, you've got something like Twitter, which on one hand wants to be treated as a platform that offers free speech, and it's not a publisher. Okay, it's not a publisher.
That's right.
And they want to protect their taxation rate. But the deal is, and Zuckerberg at Facebook, and if these guys can ban the president of the United States off their platform, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, that to me violates free speech straight up. You know, okay, like him or hate him, whatever. But okay, so just the other day, the guy, Project Veritas, mm-hmm. shot some video in which a guy from CNN basically admitted, yeah, we are a fear-based propaganda outfit. Well, so what does Twitter do? And this isn't me making this up. The guy said it to camera. And so what did they do? They banned, I can't think of the guy's name. He's the head of Project Veritas. But anyway, the point being is, like, you can't have it both ways. You're either a free speech platform or you are not. And if you're not, then your tax status is going to need to change, and we're going to need to call you something else. And if you're then going to believe that you have the right to ban the president of the United States, okay, let's say they get mad at Joe Biden. I find that very unlikely, right, because I think they're part of the reason he's even in that office. But let's just say they decided to ban him. Well, then what will people on the left think of that? Will they Will that bother them? Will they then begin to be concerned about their own free speech rights? Will they then begin to wonder, well, wait a minute, why was Twitter or Facebook allowed to ban President Biden? So I don't know. I think that what they did was quite audacious. I think it's completely un-American. And, you know, it needs to be looked at because they pretty much are getting to do whatever they want to right now. And when you mentioned your show getting banned for whatever, I have plenty of friends who have been completely demonetized from YouTube. And these aren't people that are crazy. These are actually well-researched, entertaining people who do news and pop culture and monologues on relevant subjects, and they've been demonetized. And so these social platforms, the tech oligarchs are telling you what you can and cannot hear.
On that note, when we come back, we will talk about where we have been since the first time we started talking about UFOs, UAPs. And right now, we're giving you an opportunity to be caller number 10 to win a gift card to Hops and Drops. There's 19 locations across Washington. All you need to do is call the number, the Northwest Phenom Hotline, which is 775-990-5151. I wanted to say 206, but it's 775-990-5151. And if you're like, why of 775? It's in honor of A.B. Art Bell, the godfather of conspiracy radio. So the 775 comes out of Pahrump, Nevada. 990, because it's simple, and 5151 is in regards to Area 51. So we'll be back. It is Northwest Phenomenon. We're hanging out with Michael Barker. We'll be back. It is Northwest Phenomenon.
Call the Northwest Phenom Hotline 24/7 at 775-990-5151. Subscribe and listen on demand. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. Keyword, Northwest Phenomenon. Become a Northwest Phenoms. Go to onairmario.com. Click Members tab to subscribe.
Welcome back to Northwest Phenomenon as we are having a conversation with our good friend Michael Barker. Thank you for hanging out with us this evening. My gosh, it's been such a year. We've had so much. You can find Michael Barker at Michael Barker LA. He is on Twitter, Instagram are his two most frequent. I always see you always doing something on the gram. I was like, oh yeah.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. Oh yeah, man, I should pimp my YouTube channel because I have probably hundreds of videos for my various shows. I don't currently host a show, but in the past I've hosted several shows. And if you just look at for Michael Barker Media on YouTube, I've got stuff on UFOs. I've got stuff on politics, conspiracies, mysteries, true crime, spirituality, sex, you name it. So yeah, please go to Michael Barker Media on YouTube because I have a lot of content there.
Someone just heard sex. Wait, what? You know,
well, that too. Yeah, I mean, there's some of that.
So when we first had you on, I think you and I were talking about full disclosure back in the podcast days. Can you believe in a year since you first came on the show with podcast days? I mean, now we're on three stations as we continue to pick them up. Huge news.
Congratulations, bro. That's awesome.
You know, we got three stations. One, what we're working on the fourth station. So hopefully we'll have some announcements soon. But since the time that we had you on and we were talking about a full episode, well, it was a half episode of conspiracies in regards to UAPs, and we were talking about the...
Well, I think we were talking about the Nimitz video, right? The Tic Tac video?
Yeah, that's right. The Tic Tac video, yes.
Okay.
So in that year, since then, we were like, oh, you know, full disclosure, it's coming. And here we are, a year... And a couple months later, the United States government said, yeah, that was UFOs. That was UAPs or something. I mean, that's full disclosure to me.
Well, Mario, so here's a wrinkle. This is where it's getting weird for me because I have been a lifelong UFO buff, man. And I mean, ever since I was a kid, I've been interested in this stuff. So, okay, so just this past week,
right?
I don't know if you've seen this or not, but there's a guy, Jeremy Corbell,
yes,
and George Knapp, who hosts on Coast to Coast sometimes.
Yeah.
They come out with this piece of footage, which I had actually seen before, and a lot of people had seen before, so I'm not sure why they're saying it's new. But anyway, in this footage, it's brief. And I believe it's supposedly taken.
It's interesting you say that. I'm glad you said that because I thought I saw that video also somewhere else. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, is this new? How is? And then I'm like, I must be losing my mind.
No, it's not new. And I don't, there's a reason they're coming out with, but here's where what's interesting. Okay. So, well, let's back up a little bit. When you and I were talking about the Tic Tac thing, for those who may not be aware, in, I believe it was 2004, off the coast of San Diego, a naval carrier called the Nimitz, and the jet fighters on board had an encounter with a white Tic Tac shaped object. In, I believe, 2014 and 2015, similar type events happened on the East Coast. Well, now we find out that in 2019, there were more naval carriers off the West Coast that were surrounded by drones. And now that brings us up to this recent piece of footage in which we've got this thing that looks like a green, glowing, pulsating triangle slash pyramid. Well, Corbell and George Knapp are saying it's a UFO, and I believe the Pentagon has said, you know, hey, this is real footage of something. I don't think they're saying, hey, straight up, this is a UFO slash UAP, but yes, this is some of our footage. My point is that a lot of the people who I take seriously in the UFO world believe that this is, in fact, a light aberration called a bokeh. I hope I'm saying that correct. Anyway, basically, it's if you take a picture of a star or a pulsing light with an iPhone or something like that, a lot of times you'll get various artifacts that people think are an orb or a pulsating UFO or whatever. Well, actually, it's just the way that the lens is shooting. So I'm not trying to be a debunker. It's just this has happened to me as well. It's like I'll show somebody that I trust their opinion and they know much more about cameras. Or Michael, sorry. Okay, so this particular, now, that being said, I do believe that we've probably been visited by extraterrestrials. In fact, I believe it's more likely than not. But what's interesting to me and a lot of other people is, why is this happening now? And then, I don't, two Christmases ago, do you remember the big the series of drones that were being seen over Colorado for a while?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now
in a pattern.
It's all these drones, right?
Right.
Drones is like another word for UFO or UAP at this point. So there's a guy who I've spoken to on the phone for another show that I work on. I was trying to get him to come on our show. His name is Tyler Rogaway, and he writes for a magazine called The Drive. And he is a aviation technology expert, and he's written a lot on these incidents that we're talking about. Well, he puts out this really long article last week, and basically the bottom line to his article is that what the Pentagon is not telling you is that these aren't UFOs. These are drones or technology either from Russia or China, and that we have a serious national security risk happening right now. And so the Pentagon is trying to muddy the waters, perhaps to not embarrass themselves. And they're saying that these objects are drones. Okay. Let me just say, well, that's plausible. That is plausible, and maybe some of them are.
Right.
But I do not think that all of these are drones, because they've got to come from somewhere. He argues in the article that these balloons and drones could just be launched from nearby fishing vessels or commercial vessels. Here again, that's plausible. But the thing that seems odd to me is that you know, okay, so we can't catch these things. We can't shoot them down. We can't see where they're coming from. We don't know where they're going. So I don't know that I believe that, but that is certainly the big story this week, which takes us one step further. And may I go into conspiracy land with you, Mario?
Oh, yes, we can. I mean, this is what the show's all about, right?
Okie dokie. So let's do it. So the thing, I saw something the other day, a writer whose work I enjoy, her name is Whitney Webb, and she was basically saying, isn't it interesting how they're putting out all these UFO reports right before these wars that they're trying to get us in. And I guess she's meaning like the Ukraine, Syria.
Right.
So many of the conspiracy people out there will know of an idea called Project Bluebeam, in which we would, you know, the Pentagon, the CIA would fake a alien invasion, And that was called Project Bluebeam. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I am certainly suspicious about all of this happening right now. It just seems like a bit of a distraction to me. I do not think that the green footage that Corbell and Knapp came up with is compelling. I think it is more likely than not a light artifact or something, or even conventional aircraft. But that's just one thing.
Because they've been on a lot of TV, a lot of morning TV lately,
and they're eating it up, right?
Eating it up. Oh my God, this is amazing! Isn't this
why now, Mario?
You tell me. All of a sudden, now it's cool to be conspiracy. To be in the conspiracy world, it's cool to be. We're part of the cool club now.
Well, and you know what? I mean, seriously, because for years and years and years, you could not get any self-respecting journalist to really give this much thought. It's funny because whenever a special or segment would come on television or the news about a UFOs, they always get good ratings because people are curious, just like you and I. It's like they may not believe it, but they're curious and it would be entertaining. But most journalists and most academia did not want to touch that subject because they feel like it's going to hurt their career. It's going to make them look Looney Tunes and all that. So now all of a sudden, in 2021, when we've got all kinds of things that we need to be dealing with, all of a sudden, you know, this UAP story, UFOs, not so crazy anymore. And they're taking a couple of cases which really kind of seem lightweight, and they're promoting them as if it's a big deal. So I think that calls into question what the motivations are about this. Why now? What is it really? And where's it going? And I don't have an answer to that. All I know is that I'm not too convinced that this is footage of real UFOs, but at the same time, I don't know. And I'm also not convinced, like Tyler Robaway is, that we have this 100% answer. Oh, this is Russia and China or some other competing country with technology that has just gotten by us.
You know,
we're dealing with.
It's interesting that you said that, because I was like, okay, UFOs, why all of a sudden now the uptick? We've done 3-4 shows. I've had Chase Koletsky on, big ufologist, on a couple of previous shows. If you haven't heard it, go listen to her podcast. It's up on onairmario.com. If you can't spell Northwest Phenomenon, I even bought, just like Art used to do, go to artbell.com, go to onairmario.com. So you go straight to Northwest Phenomenon, go listen to the podcast with the ufologist, Chase Koletsky. She's like the hottest chick on the block right now. But I will tell you this, I thought the same thing about all these UAPs and UFO encounters and collective stories in the last year. And this one got me to think, what if this isn't UFO and this is actually something home-based in regards to someone from the opposition, an opposite country like a Russia, a China, who's actually, you know, built the technology and has passed the number one superpower and said, yo, look, we got some cool toys over here. You know, I mean, I know when I worked at Boeing, we sold China the radomes, and we sold them spare radomes. What the hell does anyone need a spare radome for?
I don't even know what that is, but the way you're telling it, it
would go on top. Back in the day, sorry, I didn't mean to cover the mic. Back in the day, they would there was this disc. It was black on each side, and then white in the center on a 707, and it just spun around on the top. And they would fly, and it was the radome would just get the radar of everything that was going on around that collective area. And they upgraded and they put it on top of 767. So Boeing was like, oh, this is old technology now. So they were selling it to China back in the day. So, and that was, you know, 20 plus years ago. I mean, Northwest Phenomenon, you know, as I always tell everyone, is like a 20 something year show in the making, thanks to Art Bell. But, you know, thanks, Art.
Yeah. Well, check this out. So somebody else, and I forgive me, whoever you were that said this, if you're listening, but somebody posted a comment the other day, and it's a UFO guy, and he was saying that, and I bring this up because it's an interesting idea. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's kind of logical. This person was saying, and this is a full UFO person, but they were saying that they think that part of the stigma has been taken off of the UFO UAP situation, because if this is foreign countries, if this is Russia or China or some other adversary, if this is their tech, then we cannot not have. He was basically making the point that if this is tech from another country, then we cannot have witnesses, be it aircraft personnel, pilots, radar tech, not reporting it because they're afraid they're going to lose their job or be ridiculed. So, you know, I don't know if that's true, but it kind of makes a little bit of sense. So at the end of the day, I guess the best possible outcome here is that whatever it is, that we can all start talking about it in an adult way. And hopefully people that wouldn't have touched the subject in the past will now talk about it. And in the process of doing that, they'll get up to speed. So when something like this Green Pyramid thing comes out, they don't just automatically suck it up and think, oh, okay, well, here's some real footage. And listen, if it turns out to be a thing, well, then, you know, I will admit I was wrong. But at least we need to be talking about these things, and a lot of people need to get up to speed on it.
You know what would be awesome to have is you and then have Jeremy and Knapp. I emailed Knapp to come on the show, but he was said that that he's oversaturated in the market, and I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
Just come on the show.
Try Jeremy. Jeremy.
Yeah, we'll get Jeremy to come on, and I'd love to talk about that video, because I, like you said, I thought I saw that video somewhere else a while back before that. It's interesting to see some of these grainy videos that we see out there that are available now. But what if, Michael, these are like Chase Koletsky said, I asked her, I said, what if this is like I'm going to throw this conspiracy out there. What if this is end times? You know, we got this pandemic going on. The end of the world's coming, and let's say that the UFOs and UAPs are actually,
demonic entities or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I have a friend who is a biblical scholar and theologist, and he believes that. I don't necessarily, but I know that his knowledge of the Bible is so deep, and he's such an intelligent guy that when I hear him talk about it, it's fascinating to me. I don't share that belief, but I get it.
As we get close to wrapping things up, we have a few minutes left, and then we got to check in with Karis Astrology. Michael, what are some takeaways that we could, there was so much we had to get to this evening besides just talking about full disclosure. I was looking at, what else did we have on the show here? We're talking about full disclosure, social media. I think we covered it all, but my fun part, go ahead.
The one last thing on the UFO thing. So in June, there is going to be a report that comes out in which, you know, we're supposed to get some information. I'm not going to get my hopes up. I think that it'll be intriguing. And at the end of the day, we won't have any answers. But we do at least have that to look forward. I think it's a second or third week in June. And it's going to be an intelligence report on the state of the situation.
And also with everything else going on politically, I know that this show doesn't get political, but I'm going to throw this conspiracy out there. Donald Trump is not going to run for president. He's going to run for like a Congress seat or Senate. How about that? How about throwing that one out there?
Well, no, I've definitely heard that. And what they would do is they're going to try to make him Speaker of the House or something, or not Speaker of the House, but head of the Republican Party, essentially. That's possible. I mean, listen, if I'm Trump, I'd probably just like live out the rest of my life, man, and go about my business. But
right. Yeah, I mean, he's at the age. I mean, they all are, and including Biden up there in age. You know, there's not a day that I'm like, woo. He's still alive. Right? I mean, regardless of what you know, it's like, wow, that job is not for the elderly. That job is quite demanding. So, yes. It's just interesting times. Lots of reports of different people from both sides of the party swaying back and forth. But again, full disclosure, man, quite interesting. And I think you're right. I think it's more of a smoke screen. I think the United States government is not up to speed on some things. And I think they're trying to kind of pass the buck off.
And you know what? I mean, listen, I don't have the definitive answer. It's one of those things where it's such a complex issue. I don't think there's a single answer. I think that Tyler Rogoway has done some great work and some great research, and I think that he's partially correct. But for it to be the threat that he's making it, and for all of these things to be Russian or Chinese or some other competing world powers tech, and that we're just kind of running around flying jets around it, we don't know what that makes us. I don't know. I don't think we're that incompetent.
Yeah.
I think there's a deeper thing going on. And it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
It will be fascinating to see what these guys come up here with the next couple months as we, and when the information comes out, we'll definitely have to have you back on, or, you know, sooner than that. On that note, you can find Michael Parker at Michael Parker LA, and your social media YouTube channel is what again?
It's just Michael Parker Media.
All right. On that note, again, thank you so much for coming to hang out with us for this hour. Always an honor to have you on.
Always a pleasure to be on. Thank you, Mario.
You're listening to Northwest Phenomenon with Mario Magana.